Well, hello and welcome, everybody. It's Ken D. Foster. I'm so glad you joined us today. This is a very special show that I've put together for you. And if you have any loved ones out there or anybody you know intimately that's having challenges with addictions, this is a show that you will not want to miss. You know, the COVID-19 pandemic presents unique challenges for people with substance use disorders. In fact, the U.S. is now facing two intersecting health crises, the opioid crisis, along with the pandemic. And regrettably, each one has the potential to affect the other. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot going on out there with substance abuse right now, and maybe you're living it. Maybe there's people close to you, they're intimate in your home, maybe, and you're noticing that they've got certain addictive patterns that are really impacting them in a negative way. Well, I've brought the experts with me today that will not only help you understand what addiction is really about, but also to be able to give you solutions that you can take action steps right now during this season so that when it comes the new year, you know, we're on a better path. So if that sounds good to you, then stay tuned. I got to take a break. We'll be right back and I'll take a deep dive into addiction with you. Well, welcome back, everybody. Listen, today our show is an important show, especially if you have anybody that you know that's struggling with addiction. I'm calling it the courage of sobriety. Why did I call it that? Well, it takes a lot of courage to walk your talk, to be able to stay in integrity, to be able to let go of addictions. And how do I know that? Well, back in 1992, I was struggling with addiction. I was struggling with alcohol and dependence on drugs. And I was estranged from my family. I was estranged from myself. I was living in a life of Riley, I guess. I was making tons of money. I thought I was this big to-do person. But really, I was very shallow, didn't know anything at the time. And I walked into a psychiatrist's office who was a very amazing man. He'd been working with me for about a year. And I told him, I said, I'm hearing this voice. You got to feel the pain to make the change. And what he told me, he said, listen, I can't help you anymore. You got to follow that voice. Well, that was the voice of courage, of understanding, intuition, and wisdom. I hadn't followed that voice in years. Why is that? Because what happens with addiction is it shuts off the sunlight of the spirit. It shuts down our dreams. It shuts down our purpose in life. We feel you start wandering. You're always looking for that next high or that next good time. But as many as you chase, it never is ending. You never find fulfillment in your life. What happens then is you start to, as the addiction starts to go within your being, it shuts down your willpower. So what, even though you have great dreams, we don't have the will to do it anymore. You start to lose your vitality. You start to lose your connection with life. I personally was living in about a 5-mile radius, okay, of my house, right? My life had gotten so small. All I did was go into the store and back. What kind of life is that? You know, addiction promises everything and delivers nothing. And so if that's you, if you're in a place or you know somebody that's been walked in those places and, you know, you're knowing there's something off, but you don't just know what it is. Well, I can tell you this, you know, at the core of all addiction is an identity crisis. So we think that, I am what I do. Oh, really? That's what I thought. I am what I do. I'm this stockbroker, security principal, arbitrator for NASD. I was making all kinds of money. I thought that's who I was. I also, number two is I thought I am what I have. That was so far from the truth that it's kind of laughable at this point. And the third piece that I think a lot of people fall into, which I did, is I am what people think about me. That piece was really hard for me because I couldn't go get recovery. I couldn't go and really start to go back into my own soul and walk into the doors of recovery center or anything like that because I was afraid of what people would think. So that stopped me, right? And I was also concerned about what happened to me in the past. So, you know, all of that isn't has nothing to do with who we are as a soul, as a spirit. But a lot of people are running along their lives and think that those pieces are all important. I am what I do. I am what I have. I am what people think about me. I am what I've done in the past. It's all made up. So if you're running on that, chances are the sunlight of the spirit, like I mentioned earlier, is not penetrating you or your presence. And if that's the case, what's going to happen is that you are going to suffer the consequences. Well, the good news is you don't have to keep suffering, because I have two experts that I've brought on today to really help you change up the way you think and give you some solutions. So I'd like to introduce my first guest on the show. I can find her bio here real quick. I do. Okay, her name, and I'm going to bring her in studio here. Her name is Kay White. And early in 2012, Kay had a life. Her life was completely transformed. First, she attended a 30-day residential treatment center for addiction. Then 4 months later, she moved into a sober living facility and then took a 200-hour yoga teacher training. And as a result of the healing of her psyche, she had an awakening experience that was so profound, it changed the way she thought and lived her life. She decided to dedicate her life to not only changing her life and the lives of people with addictions. That's what she's doing today. Currently, she owns the Villa Kali Ma Transitional Living Program for Mental Health and Addiction Recovery. Kay, it's so good to have you on the show. You've been here a few times. You're one of my sponsors. I'm so grateful for you, and because you're helping people to make those decisions to change their life. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ken. Nice to be here. My video is frozen, isn't it?
You're a little frozen, but we'll work with it. We'll see what happens. We can hear your voice good.
How can I fix it?
not sure. So let me just ask you a quick question. How did you get to the point where you said enough is enough? I'm going to get into recovery. I think that's what I want to know.
Well, I was there. Can you see me now?
Yeah, we can see you now. Okay.
Okay, I just switched to my regular camera because the high definition one isn't working. So, 30 years of self-medicating my pain and unhealed trauma, didn't feel at all okay in my own skin, didn't want to feel my feelings ever. And so I self-medicated daily, every single day with drugs and alcohol. And, my life obviously deteriorated over the years. My body deteriorated. I was 48 when I finally got help. And at that time, I was suffering from degenerative disc disease in my back. And I had, chronic inflammation. And I was in, physical pain every single day. And I was taking...
What was that thought? What was that final piece that went, I got to get help?
Me, my family hated me, my kids despised me, and I was just at my rock bottom. And I just realized that I couldn't go on like this. I just couldn't continue on the path I was on, and I had to do something. I didn't know what that was going to look like, but I knew I just couldn't keep going the way I was going.
I get it, man. Okay, listen, when I come back from the break, I want to talk to you about unresolved trauma. And is that really why people are using here? Is that what's going on? Let's talk a little bit about that. But I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Today our show is called The Courage of Sobriety. I'm interviewing Kay White, and she currently owns the Villa Kalima Transitional Living Program for Mental Health and Addiction Recovery. Okay, unresolved trauma. How big of a role does that play in recovery?
Well, it was definitely a big part of the reason I was self-medicating. I had lots and lots of that. And all the clients that come to us, you know, 99.9% of them, it's all about the trauma, the unhealed trauma in their lives that they need to face, that they've been stuffing for who knows how long. And, you know, once we start processing that trauma and they let that go and they feel their feelings around it, they're able to transform and transcend beyond that. So it really keeps people stuck.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I like about Villa Kalima is I know that you use a lot of different modalities to help people heal their addictions. One of which you're using breath work, you're using yoga, you're using EMDR, you're using holistic therapies. Why is that? Cranial sacral therapy, shamanic healing. You do a lot of different things. Why do you do all of those? What's that about?
Well, most people who've been self-medicating are very disconnected from themselves. They don't have a relationship with themselves. They've been numbing that, and they don't know themselves spiritually. And I know that was a huge, you know, the reason why I created Villa Kalima and all of the programming that it has is because that's what healed me. And so I was definitely had no spiritual life for 30 years, none. And I was completely disconnected from my feelings and from any kind of spirituality. So, you know, our program helps you get in touch with yourself, your inside, who you are inside, you know, not who you're projecting outside or who you're pretending to be, which is all ego. So it helps you get past beyond the ego into your true innate value of your beingness, yourself, your life force, your spirit, your soul. So we help them reconnect with that in many, many ways. And also the holistic practices that we do calm the nervous system. So when they're processing a lot of trauma, it, you know, it obviously is going to cause, you know, a lot of emotional feelings and dysregulation. And so in order to keep them from blowing out and being like, no, I can't handle this, I can't do this, we do all these holistic practices that keeps them calm and grounded in their bodies and helps them be able to withstand the process of feeling all those feelings and not giving up and quitting and running away.
I love that. You know, Kay, I think one of the biggest challenges people have in recovery is staying in recovery, right? Staying sober. You know, what can people do? Well, what's that? You know, I know you guys have a huge, last time we talked, the recovery rate was very high. I guess it probably still is. We haven't talked about it lately, but how do people stay in recovery? What are the keys to keep them going? Cause I know a lot of people spend a lot of money on this. They go to a clinic or something and all of a sudden, you know, they're back out using in, you know, 1 month, 6 months, a year later. What's different about Villa Kalima? How do you not have people keep reoffending?
Well, I like to say it's a how to live program, We teach them how to live life differently. And so you have to have a transformation experience. You cannot go to a program and you know, with the intention of staying the same, but just stopping drinking, but you're going to stay the same and keep your same lifestyle. That doesn't happen. You have to change everything. You have, when I went to treatment, they told me the only thing you need to change is everything. And I was like, okay, I'm on board, because what other choice did I have? So it's about, you know, building a support system, having a plan, changing your lifestyle, having things that you do every day that support your recovery and that support your spiritual progress. So we teach them a whole entire new way to live their life and a new way to see themselves and a new way to see life itself, so that they can transform their experience of life and live differently than they were living before they came into Villa Kalima. And we also have a really strong aftercare follow-up program. We have an alumni program, and we stay in contact with all of our clients for a year. We have a therapist who heads up that program, and she calls them every week, and then they have weekly meetings. Right now they're all on Zoom, but when it's available, they come in live. So but the Zoom meetings have been very successful, because people fly here from all over the country to come to Villa Kalima. And when they go back home, before, you know, they weren't able to really connect with the alumni, but now everything's on Zoom, so they all get to connect. That's cool. And it's great. Yeah.
It's even better, probably. I have a question. You know, denial is not a river in Egypt. We've heard that that cliche a lot, but you know, denial does keep a lot of people from getting the help that they need. How do you break through that denial? Or somebody sitting in the, you know, listening to the program right now, they have a loved one and they really want to help them to get, you know, make that phone call or get, you know, take the next step. What do you suggest they do?
I mean, it's, you know, of course, even I was still in denial when I went into treatment. I didn't want to change. I wanted to stay the same, but I just wanted to feel better. So I wanted a temporary fix. And I thought, like, I'll go to rehab for 30 days and then I'll, you know, stay sober for a little while, then I'll go back to drinking. So I was in denial. I believed that I had a 3-year plan. I was going to go to treatment and stay sober for 3 years while my daughter finished high school. And then when she got out of high school, I was going to go back to drinking.
Yeah, that's a great plan. Yeah. At least you had a plan. That's good.
Everyone probably is in denial. They're in denial. But once they realize how great life is, once they get to that other side of their trauma and they get to the other side of their addiction and their life gets so much better, then the denial starts to fade away and they realize, yeah, I can't go back to that.
Well, you know, you talked about a transformational experience, okay? And I'm going to take a deep dive into that with my next guest, but I'd like you to get your hit on that. What does that mean, a transformational experience? Why do people have to have that to change?
Well, for me, it didn't happen in rehab. I had little bits of, you know, eye-opening experiences. You know, all of the, you know, fog cleared, and I felt the remorse and the shame and the guilt and all of that. It was a heavy, heavy feeling to realize all the damage I had done. But that, you know, doesn't cause the transformation. So for me, what happened with me is I met a yoga teacher in rehab who was teaching a spiritual path. And I never knew that yoga was a spiritual path. I thought it was a bendy, stretchy exercise that I can't do because my body didn't bend like that. So I just wrote it off. I never tried yoga because I didn't think I could do it. And so she was teaching actually guided meditations, and she was teaching go inside yourself and feel your inner beingness and experience your spiritual self. And once I started doing those practices, that led me to seek more of that. And so I ended up going to Bali and I took a yoga teacher training there. Wasn't planning on that. That just happened. I definitely didn't want to be a yoga teacher, and I was 48 and didn't have any plans on teaching yoga. I couldn't even really do yoga. But I ended up, you know, doing daily practices of meditation and yoga that took me beyond my ego and connected me with my heart and my soul. And eventually I had an awakening experience. And that was only a couple of months, you know, after getting sober. And that awakening experience was a transformation, because before this happened, I had like been living in this little bubble, and it was all about me and my problems. It was all about me, my suffering, my problems, my pain, my trauma. It was all about me. And I didn't care about anything else going on in the world, because what about me and my problems, you know? So I had enough on my plate to even, I wouldn't even look out there. And so I was constantly trying to get from the world. What can I get to make me better? I need some more of this and more of that. I need clothes. I need houses. I need, you know, the great guy. I need, you know, I just like thought I needed stuff. And so I gathered all this stuff around me, and I had all this stuff, but that didn't make me happy either. So what happened when I realized that I was living in this like really dark, selfish, you know, self-absorbed place, and the transformation experience made me see, instead of what can I get from the world, it was what can I give. And yeah, once I switched that to what can I give, how can I help others? How can I be a benefit on the planet? How can my actions, you know, cause no harm? Then my whole way of seeing life changed. I healed completely, because I no longer felt like I needed to get something. Instead, I just wanted to give and wanted to help others. And that changed everything for me.
I love it. Okay, well, listen, I'll take a quick break. We come back, I'm going to take a little deeper dive into who recovery is for and who it's not. I think we need to talk about that. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Ann Dow, for the show A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a curious person, always asking questions? Do you desire to be in the know? Then join me, Antonia, host of So Now You Know, Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc. Listen in as I attempt to satisfy that curiosity. I will be talking with amazing everyday people. Join the fun. So Now You Know on Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm so happy you're joining me today for this really important show. It's called The Courage of Sobriety. And it does take courage to stay sober and to really live your values, live in integrity, and live from a place of living life on life's terms. I want to truly thank all of you for tuning in, and appreciate you letting your friends, family, and neighbors know about the Courage show here. You know, Voices of Courage is an organization that's dedicated to bringing you courageous voices from our community, to help you to make the changes necessary to live a life filled with joy and happiness and lots of love in your life. Those are soft skills, but those are great skills to have, aren't they? So I'd like to encourage you to get all of our replays at voicesofcourage.us. And if you'd like to get my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything, you can get it at couragetochange.us. All righty. I want to reintroduce my guest here. Her name is Kay White, and she is the owner of Villa Kalima, a transitional living program for mental health and addiction recovery. Kay, just a little bit on who, you know, Pete, there's a lot of people thinking they don't have enough, quote, problems to go into recovery and it's all temporary and they'll get over the hump. And who, you know, who is recovery for and who is it not for?
Well, I mean, if you are suffering in your life due to substances, then you need recovery, you know? So it's clear, like it's either showing up in your life and it's causing you hardships and you're suffering over and over again. And you keep telling yourself, yeah, I'm not going to do this again tomorrow. And then you do it again. That was my case. Every time I would say, I'm not drinking tomorrow. I'm not going to drink tomorrow. I'm not going to do this, you know, or, you know, I would, you know, swear that I wasn't going to, that I was going to take a month off and then I couldn't do it. I couldn't quit. And it was causing all kinds of problems in my relationships, financial, you know, it was just causing a lot of problems, in my life. And, so I knew, and yeah. I think that's how people know is, you know, how is it showing up in your life and how much suffering is it causing?
Yeah. So it basically comes down to if it's a problem, then it's a problem. In other words, if it's showing up, you're having problems with addiction of some kind, then it is a problem and you should probably get help.
And I knew that I had a problem for a very long time, but I wasn't willing to do anything about it. It was going to be, you know, I didn't want to give up my medications, my self-medication. And so so I just went on like that and living in denial that my drinking and using was causing, you know, damage to my children and to my relationships. I was, you know, not telling my self the truth about that.
Well, listen, I've just got a few more minutes with you here. So I want people to know about Villa Kalima. Let's, you know, what happens? They make a phone call. They probably talk directly to you. You talk them through. Tell me what happens for somebody that's like, I'm on the fence. Maybe I could just get the phone call in.
Yeah, well, I used to answer the phone for about 6 years straight. I was the person you would get when you called the number. Now you'll get Ashley, who is our program director, and she's amazing. You know, she'll talk to you about whatever's going on. And, you know, if it seems like this program is a good fit, then she'll tell you all about the program and give you more information. It's, you know, a 30-day minimum stay, but people stay up to 90 days depending on the severity of their condition and how much work they want to do. So, it also depends on their life situations. Some women have children, that they need to get back to, so they can't stay longer than 30 days. Some have jobs that if they don't get back, they will, you know, they'll lose their job. So they'll, you know, some people can only stay 30 days. If you can stay longer, great. Aftercare programs are really important too, for follow-up. But yeah, if you have any questions and you want to talk to someone, you can definitely call. You can find us online at villakalima.com, or you can call, our main line, which is, 760-683-5152. And talk to Ashley.
That's awesome, man. All right. Well, Kay, I really appreciate you being here, and I hope you'll be back soon with my next addiction program to give some additional information on what people can really do to relieve their suffering, relieving their pain, and whether it's you or whether it's a loved one. Now is the time. It is the time to make the phone call. Kay, by the way, I don't know if we put your phone number up there, but is there a phone number they can call also? Or
yes, we have two phone numbers, but they can call 760-683-5152. That's directly into the office.
Can you repeat that again?
760-683-5152.
Okay, great. Okay. All righty. Well, I really appreciate you being here. I really appreciate you taking your time to really help the people. So thank you so much. All righty. I'm going to go ahead and introduce my next guest. He is going to join the conversation. And his name is David Darshadi. He's the founder of the Ibogaine Clinic. He's pioneered an alternative treatment using ibogaine, which is a natural psychedelic with dissociative properties, to treat thousands of people and healing them from life-threatening conditions and restore their freedom. So, David, I'm so happy to have you on my show here. We're talking your language, I guess.
Yes, for sure. I was listening to Kay, and I couldn't back up more what she was saying. 100% agree with her. I've studied the scholarship like Talmud and Kabbalah for 35 years, and I found truth, logic, and simplicity is really the key to solving any problem. And there is no problem in this world that cannot be solved, okay, humanly. We cannot fly, the elephant cannot make elephant fly, but we can solve problems. Problems are solvable. I find what she said extremely important. Almost all treatment that we have seen, and I've treated over 8,500 individuals, main problem after the interview with our psychiatrist, psychologist, therapist, and other general practitioner is when finally I get their reports and I interview the individual, I find out the addiction started because of a root of the problem. The root of the problem usually is trauma. Trauma leads to anxiety, and anxiety leads to depression. They're all one and the same. And then whether a person is prescribed a drug or he takes it by in a social meeting, for a moment or for a day or two, they feel like they have gotten rid of all the problems because it puts you in such a out of this world situation that you forget that you have a trauma, you forget you have anxiety, you forget you have a depression. You feel like, ah, this is the answer. How come I didn't know about this before? And then the trouble starts. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that addiction is not just to drugs. Anger is an addiction, anxiety, sometimes depression and sadness. And just like gambling and anything else. So they always wonder why some people have addictive personality and some people don't. It's not the truth. The truth is almost everyone in United States today has some kind of those problems.
So would we call this the planet of addiction? I mean, it's like, I agree with you. I think everywhere we look at, you know, whether it's addiction to food or sex or money or alcohol or drugs or relationships or whatever it is, everybody seems to have some kind of a something going on that they just think that that's going to somehow fulfill them, and it never quite does.
Yes, I found that 85 to 90% of all addictions start with trauma or brainwashing. And I'm going to explain like brainwashing.
Brainwashing, are you saying?
Brainwashing. Okay, I'm going to just stop for a minute. I'm going to explain what really is a trauma. Okay, because the answer, you don't find really the answer. After years of research, studying, and interviewing and treating people, and serving in the army, I served 3 years in the Israeli army, and I've treated many special forces with a humongous trauma, and people like girls that were raped from the time they were 3 years old until they were 13, okay, with a knife in their throat. A trauma is an event, dramatic event that happens to an individual. And why that trauma keeps on going on? Because the brain and the subconscious or the soul, whatever you want, to call it scientifically, it's a subconscious. You want to call it more in a depth, it is a soul, okay? It records that event. The problem is that we use like maybe 1% of our brain. And when we want to understand what happened to us, we just remembered fragments, very small details of that trauma. So the brain and the subconscious think that that trauma is still continuing going on because they don't remember the entire picture. So the way many years ago, there were hypnotists that were great, that they don't exist today. They were able to hypnotize the person and take him back exactly that day, that trauma, bring the brain or the subconscious to a point that it has the power to go into the recording system that exists in the brain and pull the whole picture out. Once you see the entire view in seconds when we give the treatment to a person, they see that trauma in the entirely with all the details. And I can give an example.
Before you give me an example, David, I've got to take a quick break. So hold that example. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a curious person, always asking questions? Do you desire to be in the know? Then join me, Antonia, host of So Now You Know, Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc. Listen in as I attempt to satisfy that curiosity. I will be talking with amazing everyday people. Join the fun. So Now You Know on Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. I want to give a quick shout out here before I get back to my guest, David Deshadi. If you're enjoying some of the stories of courage and insights on the Voice of Courage show, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you never miss a show. And you're going to check out some of the amazing shows that we've had in the past that will really, really rock your socks. If you like what we're talking about here, go there. Find our YouTube channel at Voices of Courage and subscribe there. Also, I want to give a shout out to some of my affiliates, UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, Podopolis, E360 TV, Flix TV, Las Vegas TV Network. I want to thank all of you for having our show on and all your subscribers. Thank you so much for being part of the Voices of Courage experience. And again, if you'd like to, you can also follow us on Facebook or join our Voices of Courage Insight group at voicesofcourage.us. All righty. Let me get back to my guest because this is a fantastic story that David is sharing here. So David, and David is an expert, of course, and owns the Ibogaine Clinic, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But let's finish that story.
Okay, before I give you the example, what is trauma? I explained it's a situation where a person has a traumatic and does not remember the details of that trauma. That's why the brain and the subconscious think that that trauma is continue going on. I wanted to explain to you what is Ibogaine first, and I want to explain to you what is psychedelic, okay, and what is perception. Ibogaine is a natural substance. You cannot call it drug. You cannot call it even a holistic drug. It's a substance that with it, with a developing the expertise, it takes mathematical calculation, how you treat the person. It takes real protocol for that individual exactly to get rid of their problem. It comes from the root bark of the tree that's called iboga, a tree. So it's called really iboga. And people many, many times mistaken iboga for ibogaine. One of the 12 alkaloids of the iboga is ibogaine. And it takes 1 ton almost of the root bark to extract 1 kilo or otherwise 2,000 pounds of root bark to get 2 pounds of pure pharmaceutical ibogaine that we give to patients here or to individuals. And if you have the right calculation and you do the interview before and you know how to do it, then you can bring that patient, number one, get rid of those withdrawal and craving that are basically, I have gone through it myself also. I want you to know I was suffering from migraines and I was prescribed OxyContin. I got addicted and went on raising 6 kids and running a big development company, going through 1 year of hell, real hell, to get rid of it. Then 10 years later, I discovered ibogaine. So I was going just to finish to tell you. So out of ibogaine is an extract of one of the smallest components of iboga. And it takes a lot of effort, good chemist specialist, and giving them the exact introduction. And what happened in the treatment is when a person is given the correct dose in the correct time intervals, it triggers the central nervous system in the brain and the subconscious at the same time. And we are basically get the body to fix itself. Not any drugs from the outside, not any substance from the outside. It's only a trigger. Once you can bring your body and your subconscious to that situation, now let's say our brain uses 1% of our brain, real brain that we have, for 2 or 3 hours, an individual is using maybe 10 to 12%, and they have the ability through the subconscious, bring the picture of that trauma and see it in a complete details, and they know it's over.
Wow. Let me ask you this. Okay, so I know that you're using this for people that are addicted and people are having breakthroughs. What are the side effects and who benefits and who doesn't benefit?
Okay. I take it myself every year for anti-aging. I matured in my 70s. I don't care about the age. Age means nothing. Okay. It's what you think and how you feel. I feel like
35. You never know you're in your 70s. You look great.
So I take it every year myself for all our doctors, all our staff, everyone that answers the phone, every single team member has gone through my treatment, and then they become part of the team. I want to just give a tremendous, tremendous credit to Kay that I seen before. This is the first time I seen someone working in a rehabilitation that really have talked about the truth and understanding what addiction is, what is trauma. And we're looking forward even to talk to her later on, because once we done, we our program is to detox the person, take the trauma or loosen up the trauma, anxiety, depression, and many other weight loss. And then we need a second place or second to reestablish that foundation that we have built in order for these people. A lot of people cannot, even though the trauma is gone, they cannot loosen it up. They cannot let go of it. It's like they're addicted to it.
Yeah.
So that's where Kay would come. We would love to send her some of our individuals that we treat as a referral for continue.
Yeah, it's don't you think, David, that, you know, people, I think I like what Kay had to say. She said, you know, we are a how to live program. And I think how to live program is what a lot of people lack. We weren't taught a lot of people just weren't taught this how to use the mind, how to use the body, how to use their emotions to create a joyful life. They just weren't. So, yeah.
I got to tell you, they asked Beethoven. I'm a music major as well. They asked Beethoven, what is genius? I guess what his answer was. Genius is ambition. And it's so true.
And the opposite, addiction, one of the first things that happens with addiction is the willpower starts to go down and down, and life purpose starts to go down and down. Therefore, you don't have any ambition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Either they have no ambition to face the truth. I'm an addicted person. I'm addicted to something. Okay. I'm worshiping idols. Okay. I'm still self-destroying myself. Look at yourself in the mirror and see that your mind doesn't work right. Your eyesight getting worse every day. Everybody getting away from you. Nobody wants looks at you and smiles. What happened to him? And sometimes these are family members, parents especially, or brothers or sisters that just get off, just stop taking drugs. Really. I said, well, I'm going to give you for 10 days heroin, Mr. Smith, and let me see if you can get off of it so easily. Okay. Stop putting your son down or your daughter. And I want to tell you this, you asked about side effects. All side effects of this treatment is positive. There are people that gain their eyesight in a way that they leave their glasses here. One executive of a big oil company, I cannot mention his name, as a request, he told me that, David, is it normal? I see four. I said, that's not abnormal. What do you mean you see four? Is something wrong with your eyes? No. I'm thinking to myself, I said, do you have your contact lenses by any chance on? He says, yes. I said, take them off. He takes them off and he says, I see perfectly. So when the body fixes itself, and that's what we work on, we find the root of the problem. This comes from the Greek philosophers and the greatest doctors, Maimonides in the 12th century. A doctor or anybody treating someone has to find the root of his problem, has to know the whole anatomy of the human body, how it operates. And then he has to connect well with this patient or with this individual he wants to treat.
That's good. So let me ask you, I asked Kay the same question, and I'd like to ask you. All right, somebody's listening to our show right now, and they're like, gosh, is this for me? Will this help me? What's their first step? What do they do? Where do you want them to go? And we got your website on the screen, but and it's ibogaineclinic.com for those of you that are listening to us on podcast. Ibogaine, Ibogaine clinic.com. What else? What happens when they get there?
When we get be, it's first for the person to wanting to get rid of their problem. Okay, realizing they have a problem. Sometimes they're younger people that want to really continue getting high. So I don't accept them here, unfortunately, because we don't want to fail. Our success rate is 90 to 95%. Okay, and we don't want to break that down. Somebody going, and some of them really need case place afterwards to go immediately to stay clean, because they're changing the mind. People call themselves rehabs, and rehab to me means taking the habit away, not to give them another drug like Suboxone, Methadone, Sebutex. Okay, so that's what we do here, and we are part of this society like yourself, of helping humanity understand and not be embarrassed, have the courage and the ambition to get rid of the problem, whether it's depression, whether it's anger, whether it's anxiety or food. We are brainwashed by our mothers, for example, for years. Finish your plate. Finish your plates. And then he grows up and they're really feels very uncomfortable not to finish their plate. This is brainwashing. My mother's trying to do the right thing, but it's not.
Well, I know my mother had both my mom and grandma had a really good time with me, you know, with that one. So I get it. Listen, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you come back and spend some more time with me. I'm out of time right now, unfortunately. So I hope you'll come back, David. And thank you so much for being here. Right now, let me just ask you one last quick question. What's your message to the world? You got 30 seconds.
The message to the world is to all executives, all the mothers and fathers, to everyone, understand this society has a major problem. And the bigger problem is that people are not admitting, and not the government, not the people, individuals, and not the families, that they have a problem.
I love that. I love that. That's great. I'm not sure if Kay is still with me. Kay, are you still with me here today? There she is. Hey, I want to ask you the same question because I got 30 seconds. What's your message to the world right now, Kay?
Look within. Heal yourself. You know, you can do it. Like, everyone can do it. I didn't think I could do it, and I completely changed my life, and I'm happy. I wasn't happy my whole life up to 48, and now I've been happy. I just turned 57. And I love my life and I love myself. So, you know, do the work that you got to do. Go inside and, you know, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes.
By the way, I want to thank you for you to introduce us together. And Kay, I will call you.
Okay.
Listen, I got to close the show, but stay on here and we'll connect with everybody together. So. Listen, everybody, I want to really thank you for tuning in today. And again, if you want to find out more about Voices of Courage and tell your friends, please go to our YouTube page and subscribe. You won't miss any shows then. You will keep coming up. You can always tell Alexa, Cortana, or Siri play Voices of Courage podcast. It'll always come up for you. And if you'd like some of the replays, you can go to voicesofcourage.us. Thank you so much for joining me today. Continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. And that's what sobriety does.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a curious person, always asking questions? Do you desire to be in the know? Then join me, Antonia, host of So Now You Know, Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc. Listen in as I attempt to satisfy that curiosity. I will be talking with amazing everyday people. Join the fun. So Now You Know on Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners, looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.